Live from the 5280 studios, this is the Weekend Geek Update Special Report. I have Jason Tucker.
Dude, you could go by the name Tuck. I think that is like the sweetest name.
Just call me Tuck. Jason Tuck is a work
local artist who is absolutely badass in the world of graphic design, artistry. I mean, holy crap, what I just witnessed, which we will talk about, is mind-blowing. But before we get to your project, Jason.
Okay.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. long day. Long night in front of me, but it's good.
Long night? Date night? Yesterday was Valentine's Day, so I figured, you know, if you got to take her out tonight, I think it might be a little too late.
Yeah, that ship has passed. No, I'm going back to the office and getting more work done.
That ship is sunk. So
tell me, Jason, from what I've seen, you're an artist.
Yeah.
What is the day job, or is this the day job?
No, the day job is graphic design, so I am... Narrative design is kind of the approach that I have, and I help businesses with their branding and identity, websites, and that sort of thing.
Okay, so a bit of a marketer and all of that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you would call that probably the boring day job, but I love that as well. But
I my degree's in marketing, so I can't.
Oh, is it okay, all right.
I'm totally like, oh.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love helping my clients kind of transform their businesses and the approach of story is something that is really just close to my heart because of what we're going to talk about today. You know, ever since I was a little kid, just reading comic books and watching movies and reading books and loving the narrative side of video games and all that. So that's always been a big heartbeat for me.
Okay, so first comic book.
Man, what was the first one? I remember there was a coloring book, a Batman coloring book.
Did it have Man-Bat in it? Because I think I had the same one.
No, I don't think Man-Bat was in it. It was pretty straightforward, you know, Batman is trapped somewhere and Robin, I think, had to save him. But
of course.
I think my first comic might have been, I remember, okay, so I'll tell you, we'll go through the different properties. So
okay.
Coloring book, Batman, that was the first one.
Okay.
And I was probably 4 or 5 or something like that. Then the next big iconic thing I remember comic book wise is my mom bought me these big jumbo Marvel trading cards.
Yes.
Yeah, and they were like about 6 or 6.5 inches tall by about 4 inches wide. And I remember just looking through those covers and those pictures, and a lot of them were Steve Ditko artwork. And there was probably 3 or 4 that I really remember. There was an Iron Man one. He had an I-beam above his head, and he was bending it over, and it was just so cool. Then there was a Black Panther one. He was reaching out towards the viewer. And then there was this Vision. The Vision one was amazing, too. And all of them were great. So that was my first...
The foray into
Marvel, kind of.
That's not a bad route to go.
Oh, dude, really, yeah. Isn't. And I used to play Concentration with those cards, and they are all beat the heck up. But and then I think my first comic was probably, I mean, if it wasn't a Spider-Man one, it might have been like the New Warriors or something like that.
Kay.
I was into a lot of those kind of not so
first tier teams.
Yeah, yeah. And then I started to read X-Men and loved a lot of Arthur Adams stuff. And I just kind of
see,
you know,
now Arthur Adams was like my favorite, dude. When I started, because Longshot came out and there was
exactly
the Asgardian Wars. And I'm just like,
yep.
Oh,
and that wasn't that where Storm first sported the Mohawk and there was the hammer and all this.
She wielded Thor's mace. And you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And she was like the goddess of thunder. And I'm like,
and Loki was in there. And yeah, it was all kind of crazy. Yeah. So. Huge fan of a lot of the Marvel stuff and like some of the DC stuff as well.
Wow. So now you're coming up with your own concept. So let me ask you, what do you prefer? Because this is crossing like that threshold, because you've got digital comics.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got, you know, the hard paper material stuff. So what is your preference?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I love the tactile nature of a graphic novel or a comic. I love that old-fashioned newspaper print that they don't use anymore for the interiors.
No.
I love the glossy outsides. But there is something that an opportunity is, and even I'm still in production on this deal, storytelling-wise, that are available to you when you're doing an interactive comic. And it's just so cool because it is kind of like this new, you're almost kind of carving out a new portion of the sandbox, so to speak. I'm mixing my metaphors here, but it basically it it allows you to do a lot of things narratively that you just can't do in animation or in traditional print comics. And so I really love both, honestly. I mean, I know it's a cop-out answer, but...
Well, no, because, I mean, a lot of friends, and myself included, yeah, I'll pick up a digital book every once in a while.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then I'll be like, all right, that wasn't as bad as I thought. I gotta go buy the physical copy.
Yeah.
But with your format, so to everyone listening, Jason has a digital comic, and as you are navigating through it, you can select different points of the comic to bring it to life. So it does an exploded view of a character or the background or everything else. Is that?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think absolutely mind-blowing. That is, thanks, man. I'm surprised somebody hasn't done this before.
Well, it is out there, but I think it's so young that – I mean, I put together like a pitch deck a couple months ago, and it was talking about kind of walking people through the technology. And this is going to be delivered as an app. But in my research, I didn't even realize at the time, the iPad is like 5 years old. It came out in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of what we know as digital comics is only – it's at the toddler stage still, and so
it's very infantile. Because I mean, you've got the window books that are now starting to catch up, but those things are so small, and I'm shelling out for a PC price for this little, you know, 9x9 box. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, and a lot of it, you know, is kind of reverse engineered off the print medium, and mm-hmm. so you have companies, and that's their business model, is that, you know, 95% of their comics are print. And they, I would imagine on the inside, they're kind of talking like there's a lot of opportunity with digital, but we've got to use what we've already produced, which is a print saddle stitch, you know, 22-page piece, and try to figure out how to port it to a digital medium. Whereas this, it's built from the ground up for that.
Right.
And when you do that, you know, like the world's
sky's the limit.
Yeah, there's all kind of stuff. I mean, we got sound effects and all kind of other 3D imagery and all that stuff in it. So
when you were designing this and putting this together, how much of the little kid came out in you? I mean, was this look, when you were a kid, I want to do this? And I mean, how long have you had this vision?
Oh, man, it's been, well, I mean, I think when I was five or I'm trying to remember now. I'm getting old, man. Pushing.
I forget what the first thing is to go.
I'm finding out right now. But yeah, I want to say I was, you know, probably first, second grade, and I wanted to draw comic books when I was a, you know, the what do you want to do when you grow up type deal.
I want to be a comic book artist.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it was totally like that. And then when I was in high school, I had a friend that I was, you know, we did these kind of rudimentary comics that we created back then. But I think it was when I was in college, I started to kind of sketch out these characters, and I should have really been paying attention in class, but I wasn't. And those couple little stints, and you know, these characters just started to have a life, and so I started to create this thing then. And once the and then meaning like 1997. I know this is kind of
Wow. So you've been carrying this since 1997,
dude. It's kind of embarrassing, man. I guess I've been trying to figure out if I should actually let people know that, but I guess it's too late
now.
No,
I mean, it is what it is. I mean,
it's a labor of love, man.
It's exactly what it is. That's impressive. I couldn't, 2 decades almost, I'd be like,
I know.
I don't have the attention span.
Well, that's the thing. That's for me, it says something about what I'm trying to create, because I'm still interested in it, you know?
Well, and that's where the heart and soul comes into it.
Yeah.
So now with your characters, how many characters do you have with the beta and everything that you're doing right now?
Yeah, there's I want to say we're about 8 to 9 characters.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every single one's fleshed out. You've got the whole backstory, and you're like George R.R. Martin right now that you know.
I wish.
Hopefully,
man,
with less wiener in it, but I mean, just where everything's going to go.
Yeah. There's an interactive element to this story, which will allow its readership to vote for what the characters do and how the story progresses each month as it comes out, phones and tablets. But there is an outline. There's a direction that I know where the story is going. And so it's just a matter of allowing kind of communal storytelling, allowing the readership, the audience, to speak into that. You know, wow, leaving okay. some space for that. So,
so kind of like a choose your own adventure from when we were
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, exactly.
That you're yep. like, okay. I always pissed was at the choices because I'd be like, I don't want to do that. I want to do this, and that was never an option. So yeah. that is very cool.
Yeah, and it's going to be kind of a choose your own adventure meets like American Idol kind of thing, where you have the most popular vote is going to be the one that that the characters carry out. And,
wow.
So yeah. So there's a. Yeah.
So what happens if someone, Jason Todd's one of your favorite characters? You know.
Mm-hmm.
Kill him.
Well.
Smoke him. Bye-bye.
We'll have to cross that bridge when we get there.
They're
with the hero. Within the user interface, at the end of each issue, you'll have three options. And so those options will be presented to the audience, and then those
gotcha.
Will be the three that.
So there's so a little control.
There is a little bit, yeah. Yeah. So I really... for me, I really want people to really feel like they can live in this world and they have a say in this world. But also don't want to just leave it like wild where it's just kind of like, hey, I'm just figuring this out every
right.
month.
You want the significant world building.
Yeah.
So how did you come about the world building? I mean, what did you pull
I'm still
for?
In the throes of that right now.
Really?
Actually.
So
yeah.
where are you at with that then?
Yeah, it's going really well. It's a futuristic fairy tale is what we're building here, and it's kind of a mix between X-Men meets Mission Impossible meets the Book of Eli, and it's got some spiritual stuff going on, and it's got some kind of just high octane action adventure comic, but then it's also got like love triangle and some romance and all
oh,
that
wow.
stuff. So yeah, it's got a lot of parts and pieces, but in terms of the world building, I'm just doing a lot of research in a lot of the properties that I've loved over the years that have really hit me, and then also tapping into what other people have really pointed me to in terms of properties that they've liked. And so I'm just trying to find that. I kind of look at it like a gumbo, man. I mean, a good world building and a good property has just the right amount of various elements.
Hard to say no to a good gumbo.
Yeah. Really so, so yeah, that's where I'm still in the throes of working out all the details. But there's, you know, there's a lot of flying robots, and you know, I have this this group called the Halcyon Guard within the story, and. They're kind of this old regime that is starting to die out, and they have these powers where they can control the city's infrastructure, and where the setting is the last city on Earth, and so the kind of
kind of where the Book of Eli kind of comes into
you know
play almost.
I
seems.
Guess there maybe yeah there could be some I don't know osmosis between that, but yeah it's really set in this world where kind of 80 years of earthquakes have devastated 90% of the world's surface.
80 years of earthquakes?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so now kind of the last remnants of civilization have pooled the resources to create this floating city in the sky, and that's the last city on Earth. And that's where everything takes place. And so we've got this this hero that his name is Failure, but he basically whatever he touches falls apart, like literally. And so the log line for this is when the last city on Earth comes under attack, a cursed young runaway is the last hope for that city, even though everything he touches falls apart, literally.
Wow.
And so he's kind of a, you know, his name Failure, he owns it, but he's made some mistakes, and he's paying for those mistakes, and, you know, he has to find his redemption through actually saving the city, so.
All right. So now, before you got to this point, did you ever cross that threshold and try to go into comics or do, you know, the big
yeah,
publisher?
Kind of like, yeah, you know, I remember those animation deals back in the day with Draw the Turtle, Draw the Rabbit and all that. I remember trying that. When I got into high school, I kind of, I mean, I was doing my own comic, and I think the indie side of me started to kind of peak a little bit. And then when I got into college, I started doing architecture and architectural drafting and all that. And so I really went, you know, my parents were kind of we know you want to draw comics, but you got to have a real job and you don't want to be a starving artist and all that. So then I went
to art for you a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. So I ended up doing the architecture thing. And by the time I circled around to actually doing this like as a real thing, I think my Image, Marvel, DC aspirations kind of, they were already passed by that point. So, but I love the stuff that's out there, man. I really feel like in the last, 15 years? It seems like comics, I guess it has to do with the movies and the tension and all that. But, it's just been some killer stuff coming out last, I'd say since early 2000s, really.
There have been, the solid influx of stuff. You got Matt Fraction, you got Brubaker.
Yeah.
You got, some of the names that are just writing right now, I'm just like, oh, I'm Straczynski, I'm just, oh.
And these are guys that, and girls that could be, some of them have written novels, but the quality is there, it's just, it's not like, subpar writing. They're just pouring their energy into medium that we love. So
even the Image comics that you knew when we were younger, it's completely different. There's not like hero books in Image. They're more like weird twisted tales. They are not the typical hero. In fact, East to West, looking at some of the concept stuff you showed me, it calls to that, where the world is just destroyed and you have the four horsemen of the apocalypse coming down on the earth, and they're pissed off at Death because Death double-crossed them and killed them like a couple hundred years earlier, and now they're back. So, this is Image. So the typical hero that McFarlane and Liefeld and Jim Lee and all of them broke off to do, it's completely different now. Walking Dead. It's not a superhero book.
What kind of hero is that?
Yeah.
But I think that gray area stuff is really, I think it's really fascinating, man. And it's stuff that we all deal with anyway in our real lives. So it's kind of like, and even like the villain in this story. I mentioned there's some spiritual stuff going on in the story. So it's what I consider has a Christian core to it, wrapped around all of the action, sci-fi, whatever. But the main villain, he's actually kind of a zealot, and but he wants to bring mankind back to God by any means that he sees fit, any means necessary, so to speak. And the heroes actually have to stop him. So he's, and it's kind of one of those things where he's willing to go to any extremes for his religious beliefs. And there's a lot to be said about what we see in the news and, kind of those are some of the things we're wrestling with in our society. So it's interesting to
it's definitely coming through in the pop culture. You can see just like that pendulum swinging back the other way where everyone's just like, it's not as all roses and happy dancing in the fields as everyone thinks it is.
Yeah. So I want to dig into that and allow the readership to kind of share their perspectives on it as well. And that's really at the core of this thing, what I'm trying to do. So
nice. So now, have you started a Kickstarter, or how are you funding this, or
where is
it at right now?
Yeah, for any comic creators out there, failed Kickstarter. I think that was 2 years ago, I think it was 2014. So for any creators out there, don't give up. Not that I have like a happy ending yet, but it's the failed Kickstarter. I learned as much from that as I have, and I actually helped another client with a successful one. But so we're going to be going back to Kickstarter. And so probably the goal will be late this year to have the pieces in place to be able to start ramping that part back up in terms of the marketing and all that. And then it'll probably be early next year when we launch it.
Okay.
So
how far, like monthly there would be a new strip or weekly or how long can you go, do you think?
Yeah, it's actually what I've got is an 18 issue story arc. And this is why it's taken forever to do it. But it's 18 issues and it'll actually come out in 2 years, a 9 month first year be a journey one, and then journey two is going to come out 3 months after that and start the first part of the second journey, and that'll be 9 months as well. And it'll come out every month, and then the options that'll be available to vote on will be at the end of each issue, and then there'll be 30-day kind of a 30-day window where everyone will have the opportunity to throw their hat in the ring and vote for what these characters do and what happens and alliances and the betrayals and all that stuff. And then what the vote that wins, kind of American Idol style, will be the one that actually hits
hits the stands.
Yeah, hits the stands, pings you in your pocket, says, "Hey, you know, a new issue is available." And then it's a matter of like, all right, what happened? What did everybody vote on? What, you know, how did it all shake out? So
that's bold.
Yeah, I know.
It makes me nervous. My butt's twitching. I'm like,
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Nice. So, I mean, besides the marketing and all that, what, Jason? What else do you do, man? I mean, is this your focus? Are you like a big sports guy, or I mean, what? I know you're from Minnesota, and we won't talk about the big ball of America and all that shit. But
you know, in the missed field goal. Yeah, and AP, I love me some AP. He fumbled right near the end, which is tough. I know he feels bad about that, but he's going to hopefully be around for a good long while, so he'll have another chance to redeem himself. But, yeah, we won't talk about that.
We won't talk about that at all. But who's your team then? Is it? I mean, you have Vikings that are
– You know, I got to admit, man, I'm kind of like a fair-weather Vikings fan.
It's hard not to be that way with the Vikings. You never know.
And I'm trying to figure out if those green headphones are part of your Packer pride or not quite the same shade of green, but
it's more of a Green Lantern thing for me.
You guys
have
probably heard from previous podcasts, but I guess Daniel's from, what was it, Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, that's right.
Yeah.
Little small town named Lena, 20 miles north of Green Bay. I'm like in the dead of the woods.
Nice, nice.
Nothing out there. Nice. Even the raccoons are like, "The hell are you living out here for?" You know, go back into town.
Well, yeah, the raccoons get the lay of the land when the game's on. Nobody's at home.
No, okay, Green Bay. I kid you not. You could go. Everyone is downtown or at the stadium. You can hit every single house. And no one would be there telling you that.
So they
right
put
now.
Their little band, their little head bandanas on, and they're,
oh, yeah, the whole town is down there. Yep. Kroll's, great little butter burger joint. Oh, you can still smoke in the restaurant there.
Really?
Yes. It's so damn cold that they don't have outdoor smoking. So I hadn't been home for years. I walk into Kroll's, which is directly across the street from Lambeau Field.
Okay.
Great butter burger, but oh my god, the stench! Oh. I know nobody out here has any idea about what it is, because your heart will stop if you eat it. Walk into the restaurant and this wave of just smell of tobacco and smoke, and I'm like, oh my god, I forgot what that.
Oh yeah,
what that felt like.
I'm back home. That's what you think
it is.
Yeah, and it's probably out there, like the ambient heat from like two dozen cigarettes in the room probably is worth the
that's how they keep warm.
Yeah, exactly.
They huddle around the cigarette butts. Oh yeah. Give me another burger.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that the Vikings can do something. But to answer your question, I'm actually a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, man. That's my squad. Yeah.
I feel bad for Big Ben. He should have had it.
No.
No.
Yeah, he's got a couple more years in him. We'll see.
He does. That man is a tank.
Yeah, he is, man. He is. And, I mean, they almost need to suit him up as running back because that's the area where they keep having some issues.
When he went down and then I was like, well, you might as well just bring in Cordell Stewart because, I mean, you guys were just anemic on quarterbacks. Because you also lost
Vic?
Vic, yeah. Yeah, Vic goes down, and the third string goes down. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, it was a rough go, man. It was a rough go, and they're still trying to get younger on defense. But yeah, it's fun. I love the league. It's a good way to spend some Sunday afternoon. So
well, you sit there, sketch some stuff out, watch the game, throw some stuff at the TV.
Yep.
So if they want to follow you, Jason, or if they want to keep up to date, what is the best way to keep up with the project? And I mean, do you have a name for the
sorry about that. Yeah, the book is called the Way. The full title is The Way of Yahweh. Yahweh is actually a Hebraic
God.
Term. Yeah, mm-hmm. For God. It's actually one that in Hebraic culture, Jewish culture, you're actually not supposed to say. So
no, it's bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like the
a pox on you.
Yeah. So I've been that's the name of the title. I've got a Facebook page that's out there, so people can go to that. And the actual website, the kind of pre-production website for the project is theway-saga.com.
Okay.
So that'll point you to all the Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff.
And we will link up the Facebook and pages and all that with the podcast, so they'll be able to connect. And that's a bright rubber ducky you have there. Sorry. Dude. Dr. Zhivago just joined us, and he brought me hearts and blinking ducks, which I'm curious. No, I'm not.
Batman and Joker.
Tell me later. Save it for the podcast. Jason, good stuff, man. Thank you for sitting down with us. Anything else that you'd like to get out there before you are off to the hills?
No, man. I just appreciate the time, man.
And, of course.
Hopefully you guys are...
We'll get you back on. I want you know what? I would really love if we could have you like monthly on just as an update. You can tell us where the story's at or even put it on the webpage itself. So
I'm looking forward to talking about that stuff with you guys when it gets closer to launch. So
excellent.
Thank you, man.
My pleasure, Jason.